Welcome to Tuesday night Bible study. Praise the Lord. We're still in Proverbs. We're trying to go through this book of Proverbs, but it's a really, really great book. If you want to know what pleases the king and what displeases the king, study the book of Proverbs. It will show you what the Lord likes and what he doesn't like. And he'll show you a lot of things about people and how things work. And, of course, I know there's only a handful of us here tonight, but Dave and I worked diligently today all afternoon on the bathrooms, and they all work now, both sinks and potties. So we've got six of them hooked up back there working with six sinks and six potties and everything. So after Saturday, when we had 125 people here, we needed that many working. So praise the Lord, we don't have to go across the street now to the bathroom. We can stay over here. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, we praise you and thank you for the book of Proverbs. We thank you, Lord, that you give us this owner's manual that we can study and we can learn about ourselves and about you and what you like and what you don't like, and so we can obey. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for these wonderful statements that you made in your word, and help us to understand these things so we'll please you, so we'll hide them in our heart, so we will not sin against you. So thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. But before, we'll just go ahead and do this, and we'll do something else later. Let's just start there in verse 1, Proverbs 15:1. It says, a gentle answer turns away wrath. Now then, we don't listen to that very well, because if you take two people and they get to arguing, or one of them raises their voice at the other one, what does the other one usually do? Raise their voice right back. So what does that do? I mean, usually that one tries to outdo the other one to see which one can get the loudest voice. First thing you know, they're screaming at each other. And then there's a real problem, and that's not the way to do it. If one comes in upset and starts screaming, what should the other one do?
Stay calm.
Stay calm, that's right. Have a gentle, soft answer, and that will take care of it. A gentle answer turns away wrath. You know, so if a gentle answer turns away wrath, but it says harsh words stir up the anger. You know, so what do you want to do? You want to have peace at home, or you want to have a war? I don't want a war, do you?
No,
I don't want a war either. So the Lord tells us what to do. Give answer back with a gentle, soft answer. It says the wise person makes learning a joy. And, you know, that's, I remember whenever I was teaching engineering down here in Dallas for Braniff years ago, the subject I realized with the information I had to present to this group of men, in 6 weeks when I went to the course, they gave me the book and said, "This, you need to cover this entire book in 6 weeks. I read through it all, studied it all, and I thought, wow. I mean, there is more information here in some of the subjects I studied in engineering. There's more information in that 6 weeks than there was in some of my college courses for a whole year. And I thought, wow, I got to cover all of that. So I said, okay, I can do that, but I said, I want to try to make this fun. And so I went in and told the guys, we're going to cover a lot of information in the next 6 weeks, but it's a piece of cake. It's so easy, I'm going to raise the minimum score from 70 to 80, you know, because I know all of you are going to make it in the high 90s. No problem. You're going to do great. And do you know, with that positive way to proceed, almost every man in that class made in the 90s and above. I had very few that made in the 80s, and I had two men that made a 78 and a 79 over the next 2 years. Everybody else made in the 80s, and probably a big percentage of them was in the 90s, because I made it fun. You know, I really did. We had lots of fun. I didn't go and say, oh, gosh, guys, this is going to be hard. You know, I mean, golly. You know, I mean, in college, there's more stuff in this what we got to cover in the next 6 weeks than you covered in a whole year in college. This is going to be the toughest thing you ever did. I mean, I set them up for failure right there. You don't do that. It says, a wise person makes learning a joy. It's lots of fun, you know. School is lots of fun if you make it fun. If you make it drudgery or start thinking about it like that, oh, I've got to go to school again today. You know, so, and then you won't enjoy it and you won't learn. Oh, he ain't going to be like that. No, that boy's going to make school fun. He's going to be on fire. He's going to be one of the best students they got down there. He's going to come through. He's going to be an A student. You know, guarantee is. Fools spout only foolishness. You know, now, some people, there's a whole lot of them in the world. A whole lot of fools. So don't be one of those. Don't be somebody that just spouts all foolishness. Okay, verse 3 and 4. The Lord is watching everywhere. So how many of us is the Lord watching over? Jenny, how can the Lord be watching you when you're out there doing things you're not supposed to be, even in the dark? He said, you can't turn the lights off and get dark enough. He can't see you, can he? No. He's watching you. But how can he be watching you and watching me at the same time? And then watching Bruce and Jesse and at least all of us at the same time. But he can, can't he? How can God be that big? But he can. See, we think like a man. If Bruce and I are together and we're talking, I mean, I don't know what anybody else is doing. But God, he knows every word we're saying and knows what every word you're saying and thinking. Wow, the Lord is watching everywhere. He's keeping his eye on both the evil and the good. So it doesn't make any difference who you are, lost or saved. He's recording and keeping his eye on us. And it says there, gentle words bring life and health. Oh, how many people wants to be healthy? Everybody wants to be healthy. What is it that brings life and health? Screaming words? Oh, what is it? Gentle words. Gentle words. So if you want to have a good, healthy life, you'd want to stop screaming at people or getting upset or losing your cool at people. Because if you do, it will, if, in other words, if gentle words bring life and health, then what does harsh words, evidently, the flip side of that, what do they must bring? Sickness and misery. But gentle words bring life and health. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. A deceitful tongue. In other words, as I've said many times after I made that series of teachings on, now it's up to 3 CDs on the cassettes, it's still just 2 cassettes, but when I put it on CD, I had a 20-minute blank spot at the end of the 3rd CD, so I just went back in the scripture and got a few more of these teachings and put them on the CD. So the 3 CDs have got 20 minutes more teaching on them than the tape, the 2 cassettes do. But when I begin to get a hold of the tongue, just like right here, a deceitful tongue, what does a deceitful tongue do? It crushes your spirit. It crushes your spirit. So your tongue, as I've said many times, your tongue is either your best friend or your worst enemy. It'll either make you or break you. And another thing about the tongue, how do you release faith? With your tongue. Isn't that amazing? Somebody says, I got the greatest faith in the world. And what are you saying? Nothing. I keep my mouth shut all the time. You ain't never going to get nothing from God with your mouth shut. The way you release your faith is with your tongue. So when you praise Him, you do it out loud. You praise Him. You worship Him. Lord, I thank You. I praise You. I worship You. Lord, I thank You. You're my healer. Lord, You said right here in Your Word, You said You forgive all of my iniquities and You heal all of my diseases. It's written right here in the Scripture. In fact, I want to go to that where that deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. I want to go to the other part of the tongue. And I want Dave to take us from verse 4 here. I want to go to Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5. And I want to show you something here in Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Did you hear me praise the Lord just then? Did you hear me praise Him? Oh, you did? What did I say? Huh? I mean, just now, finally. But I stood there for a minute without saying anything. I just looked at that and silently read that. Did you hear me praise the Lord?
No, but before that you did.
I know. But right there, I can look at that. I can read that silently. I can read. I read that verse. Did you hear me read it? No. Did you hear me praise the Lord, Heidi? But if I say, praise the Lord. Hey, that's the secret. How did I do that? With what? My tongue. That's right. My mouth. I praise the Lord. When we were running around down there in Home Depot the other day talking to all them people, or I'd ask them about something, how to do something, and the guy would give me an answer. I say, it's on aisle 6. I say, praise the Lord. And I run over there to get it. Hey, what was I doing? You reckon I was making the king happy? Praising him in that place? Yeah. Me and Eldon, man, we changed some people in that place. We didn't have any idea the impact we were having, but we were using our tongue to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, I tell myself with my whole heart. I will praise His holy name. You know, some people come to church, and this is why they come to church. We're standing there singing, our hands up, and they're standing here like this, looking down at the floor. They ain't praising the King. I come to church, I went down to church, and we praised the Lord. No, you didn't. You might have been to church, but you didn't praise Him. You went down there, you were sitting there with your hands behind your back, and you're looking down at the floor thinking what you'd done last week or you're going to do next week, and you wasn't praising the King at all. Hey, you might as well have stayed at home. The Lord wants you to praise Him. Hey, that's what it's all about. Praise the Lord, I tell myself, with my whole heart. How much am I supposed to praise Him with? A little bit of my heart? All of me. I need to jump up and down and let everybody know I love Jesus, right? Praise Him with your whole heart. You think that'll make the Lord happy? Yeah. I know of a man one time that I don't know him personally, but a man told me a story. Said there was a man had a cancer eating his body up, and said they had prayed over him, and he hadn't gotten well. And he said, we just decided to just praise the Lord. We told him, he said, you go home, we're going to praise the Lord, you praise the Lord. And the man went home, began to praise the Lord. Say, Lord, thank you, I don't have this cancer. Praise the Lord that you bore my sickness, removed my disease. Praise your holy name, Lord. It is written, Lord, I praise you. I thank you for taking all my sickness and disease. And he said, it only took about a week. And one day walked in and looked, he said, Lord, praise the Lord. And he looked in the mirror, and the cancer's gone. Isn't that amazing what happens when you praise Him? Do you think He loves praise? Oh, He loves it. And He tells us over and over and over in His... Praise the Lord. I tell myself, praise Him with a little bit of my heart.
My whole heart.
How many people do you know, Heidi, that does that? Not very many. You know, I mean, some people go to church. Well, I've got to go to church. It's Sunday again. I've got to go to church again, you know. And I don't like going to church. And believe me, I have had people tell me this, especially men, unfortunately. I don't like that first part of that church down there when they supposedly sing. They don't sing songs out of the book I like. And you turn around and look at them, and they're like this. Everybody else is singing. Nobody's raising their hands. But listen, he's just standing back there just looking. Looks like a cow eating a pickle pear. I mean, that ain't what God said come to church for, was it? He said come to a church. What are we supposed to be doing when we come to church? Pleasing everybody else? Or do we come to praise God? Hey, it's the King. If you come to church to please everybody else, you come to church to show off your new dress or your new suit or whatever, and you didn't come to church to praise the King, you should have stayed at home. You know that? You ain't going to get nothing from God. God tells us, praise the Lord. So we need to learn to do that. There is power in praise. I think about the little Styrophoenician woman. She had a daughter that was home, sick and afflicted with a demon. And Jesus is going across the country. And she comes up there and grabs him and said, Master, I have a daughter at home in bed with a demon. Would you come and heal her? He just keeps right on walking. You think, what, that uncompassionate critter? What's wrong with him? That's Jesus. He just keeps on walking. She gets up, drags along beside you. Master, please, I have a daughter at home vexed with a demon. Will you come and heal her? Peter said, you want me to tell her to go away? Lord didn't say nothing. You think, what is wrong with him? That's God. She comes and falls at his feet and begins to worship him. Oh, then he stops and says, what can I do for you? Isn't that amazing? I have a daughter at home vexed with a demon. Would you please come and heal her? He says, no, but you can go home. She's healed. Now, what made the difference? She worshiped him. That's what she did. She come and begged and pleaded, and he never even looked down at her. And Peter thought, well, Jesus is annoyed with her. So, Lord, he just said, Lord, should I just tell her to go away? And nothing happened. But when that little gal come and fell at his feet and worshiped him, ooh, do you think the king likes worship?
Absolutely.
I guarantee. Somebody said, well, if you think I'm going to worship him, you got another thing coming. Just go ahead and be sick if you want to. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to praise him. I ain't going to be proud. I know what he likes. Don't you, Casey?
Absolutely.
He likes worship and praise. And just like I've told lots of people, if you're not willing to do what the king says, and you think you're too good to do what he says, then you can just be sick and stay that way and die early if you want to, because he tells us what he likes and what he demands. And if we don't do it, hey, because right there, praise the Lord. I tell myself with my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. There's a lot of people that have never praised him. You know, I think about when I used to be, I mean, you know, maybe I don't have the best voice in the world when it comes to singing, but I know God likes it, and I like it. And so when I used to be on the tractor down there hauling hay with a tractor running, you know, noisy and everything, and in the middle of that field down there when I used to bale hay down there, I'd give them great big round bales, and I'd make 80 or 90 or 100 bales of hay on that. Well, I had to haul them in. When I'd be down there hauling that hay in, I'd be running across that field to run up there to stick that bayonet in one of the big old bales to pick it up to bring it to the barn. And I'm singing, pray how great thou art at the top of my lungs. God heard me. I could hear it even over the tractor, but probably nobody else could, but nobody grumbled and complained. But I was praising the king. I was praising the Lord. And then if you need something from him, when you ask him for something, guess what he'll do? He'll do it for you. Sure he will. I will praise his holy name. And in verse 2, praise the Lord. I tell myself and never forget the good things he does for me. You know, well, somebody said, well, good grief, he ain't done no good things for me. And you think, you're still standing right side up, aren't you? I mean, you know, you're breathing, aren't you? Can you see? Well, yeah, but you know, that's part of the deal. No. I mean, you need to be praising him for your eyes, praising him for your taste, praising him. I remember when William, the little guy from England that had that broken arm, and it had been broken in 7 or 8 places, and then there were 7 or 8 years later, his hand had been shriveled up like this, and he had not been able to use that hand for 7 or 8 years. And when he came to my meeting, Wendy was there that day, and she got to see that man, the Lord healed that hand. The next day, I went by to see William, and when I knocked on his little door of his little apartment, he said, come in, the door's open. I went in, and he's sitting right up in the middle of the bed, fully clothed, saying, Lord, thank you. Thank you. And I thought, you know, Lord, I'm ashamed of myself. I don't tell you that very often. I hardly ever look at my hand and say, Lord, thank you. I mean, mine just works. So it's it's real easy to forget to praise Him when everything works. You know, but when something don't work, you start, oh, Lord, I got to have healing. I got this pain. I don't like pain. Oh, He said, I let you live without pain for 20 years and you never praised me one time. You never talked to me. And now all of a sudden, I put a little pain on you and you're wanting me to do something for you. He said, I already have. I put the pain on you because you didn't worship me and you didn't pray. And I give you 20 years to do it. And you thought I was putting my sunshine out there and I was giving you all these things just because I should do it, because I owed it to you. He said, I don't owe you nothing. Isn't that something? Yeah. You talk about getting your attention when you're down with pain. I don't like pain, Bruce. Amen. And there ain't nothing I hate worse than pain besides a little more pain. And so when I worship and praise the King, I find out I don't have to have pain. And so I love that. Praise the Lord, I tell myself, and never forget the good things He has done for me. So, you know, when you in the morning or when you get in your car, you ought to get in the car and say, Lord, I praise you for this car. Instead of saying, oh, Lord, this old car, I sure do need a new one, and grumble and complain, because you're going to have that old one a long time. You know, but if you praise Him and worship Him, the old one you got may run just as good as a new one for years without a single breakdown and no expenses. And then one day just drop a newer one right in your lap. Just like that little Ford pickup I got out there, that little Ranger. 2002. I've had that for, I guess, 2 years now, something like that. And I told the Lord one night coming home from church, I said, Lord, I feel like I need a little Ranger pickup, something that's cheap, you know, to drive. You know, you get 25, 30 miles a gallon because gas is getting so high. And I have to haul some things and run around and do all kinds of stuff. I got to have a pickup. But, Lord, I don't want to spend a lot of money. I need a great little pickup that gets good mileage. And I said, Lord, I only got $6,000 I could spend on one. So I got to have something for under $6,000. I really like to have low mileage and everything, you know, and as new as I could get. So I went in when I got home after church that night, went in on the internet, and I said, a 1999 or under, you know, a supposedly less than 50,000 miles and less than $6,000, a Ranger pickup. And I done a search. And it came back with all kinds of pickups, you know, that was met that criteria. But there was one 2002 with 15,000 miles on it for $5,700. Wow. I thought that's got to be a 150,000 miles, not 15. Because ain't nobody going to sell a pickup that's 15. That's like brand new, you know. And there was a 99 on there for $10,000 that had 70,000. I mean, it had 50,000 miles on it. I thought, no, that's got to be a misprint. So I didn't even call. I'm a real man of faith, as you can tell. You know, didn't even call. Here's God trying to drop something on my lap, give me something good, and I won't even call Him. So the next day, I done another search. Same little pickup came back up. I thought, you know, God, are you trying to tell me something, or is that a misprint? So I called the people. I says, do you have a 2002 pickup with 15,000 miles on it for $5,700? They said, yes. I said, anything wrong with it? They said, well, not now. But said, it was wrecked in the front end, but it's been fixed. Everything's perfect. Yeah, everything looks really great. And I said, okay, come look at it. So I went and looked at it, and it did look perfect. Had 15,000 miles on it. So I gave them $5,700 for it. And a 99 with 50,000 was 10,000 at that time. And so I think I got a great deal. Today it's only got 30-something thousand on it, and I ain't had a minute's trouble with it. It's a great little truck. Now then, if you're obedient and you praise Him, what can He drop in your lap? He can drop you a pickup in there at half the price. A 2002, they were 10 and 12 and 13 and $14,000 when I bought that one for 57. So if you praise Him, what's impossible? Nothing. That's absolutely right. So that means most of us don't praise Him enough. Praise, there's power in praise. Why do you think we should praise Him? Did He tell us in His Word to praise Him?
Everywhere.
That's right, Heidi. Everywhere. And right here in two verses, He starts the first verse, praise the Lord. Verse 2, praise the Lord. It must be something to that, huh? I tell myself and never forget the good things He does for me. And you know what? when you don't forget the good things God does for you, you need to start telling Him how much you love Him and thank Him for what He's done for you. Lord, I praise You that I have a... When you wake up in the morning, say, Lord, thank You. I had a good night's sleep last night. Thank You, Lord, for this beautiful bed that I have to sleep on. Oh, it's sure so much better than sleeping out on the rocks in the cold without nothing or under a bridge. This is so nice, Lord. I love You and praise You for this. Lord, I thank You for my little house that You give me. It's so great. I thank You that I can get out on the warm carpet with a heater running. It's not super cold. Lord, I thank You and praise You. You know, I mean, just praise Him for everything. You know, tell Him, you know, how much you love Him. And thank Him. Thank You, Lord, that You bore my sickness, removed my disease, so I don't have no sickness and disease. I don't care if You got something wrong with you. Praise Him. Tell Him, Lord, thank You that You did this, so I don't have nothing wrong with me. I am healed in the name of Jesus. Thank You for being my healer. And verse 3 and 4, what does it say there, Dave? He forgives all of my sins and heals a few of my diseases. Oh, there must be a misprint there. He forgives, and that's the whole thing. When you go down the road, say, Lord, thank You for forgiving all of my sins. And thank You for healing all of my diseases. There ain't nothing wrong with me, Lord. Now then, you know, you, Danny was just telling me a while ago, he heard a preacher or somebody, I think he said it was a preacher. He said he was watching Christian television. I think it was television, wasn't it? Yeah. And he said, some Christian television guy said, God doesn't heal all diseases. I said, that don't line up with the Word. Now then, if you hear that and you don't believe God heals everything, then how are you going to have faith to get healed? I mean, you know, the enemy will come to you. And if you say, well, He don't heal everybody. Well, you know, then you try to stand in faith and the enemy will tap you on the shoulder and say, did you remember that guy said that he don't heal everybody? You're that guy. He ain't going to heal you. He ain't going to take away your pain. He ain't going to take away your cancer. That's not right. That says right there, He forgives all my sins and He heals all my diseases. That's what I'm going to stand on since it's written in the book. He ransoms me from death and surrounds me with love and tender mercies. I like that. And then what does the next one say? Verse 5. He fills my life with good things, and my youth is renewed like the eagles. I love that. I really do. I call the King in remembrance of that regularly. How do you think I walk in divine health and walk as a young person? You know, like Cheryl, she tells me, she said, man, you're the youngest guy for your age I ever met in my life. Hey, why am I young? I ain't never going to get old. That's just a number. You know, I mean, one day I may be 100, you know, but I ain't going to be old. I'm still going to be a ball of fire. In fact, I know that, did you know there's a guy out here at the airport that I know, his name's close to mine. Where mine's Thurman, his is Herman, and he used to be a Pan Am pilot, and he's 84, and he owns a Pitts bi-wing out there, and he still goes out and does all kinds of rolls and turns and loops, and he flies that thing, does aerobatics on a regular basis, 84 years old, flying that little airplane like that. See, he don't know he's old either, see. He works on it out there in the heat. He'll be out there working on that airplane. I think, man, I know lots of young men couldn't handle this out here in the heat, and I'd hang working on that airplane in the heat of the day. Then at verse 6 says, the Lord gives righteousness and justice to all who are treated unfairly. That really didn't come along with my teaching tonight, but that's just something the Lord does. I like that verse 5, though, where He fills my life with good things. Now, He only fills your life with good things if you're obedient. If you're disobedient, He fills your life with bad things. So you need to learn to worship Him and praise Him. If you don't worship Him and praise Him, you will not be able to get these things. They don't work. That's why He started out saying, praise the Lord. God loves for you to praise Him. And if you don't do that, you need to start. Praise the Lord. And you don't ever forget to thank Him. I thank Him all the time for everything He does for me. My life, you know, I thank Him that He allows me to walk in faith. I thank Him that He allows me to speak His name and to see healings and miracles and all those wonderful things. I thank him regularly, and I praise him and worship him for that. Now let's go back to Proverbs 15, where we was there, Dave. The Lord is watching everywhere. He's keeping his eye on both the evil and the good. And gentle words bring life and health, and a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Now then, with your tongue, you praise the Lord, or with your tongue, you curse the Lord. And a lot of people never open their mouth to praise him. Even when they come to church, they never open their mouth to praise and worship and bless the Lord. So you need to bless him, praise him, worship him. And if you have never done that, start. If you've never worshiped him and praised him just driving down the road, I used to just drive down the road going to work, and sometimes I would just put my knees against the steering wheel to make sure it stayed straight. And I'd throw both hands up in the air driving down the road, and I'm praising the King. I'm sure there's people drove by looking, who is that idiot? But that's okay. I ain't trying to make them happy. When I make the King happy, what does he do for us? He does wonderful things, doesn't he, Jenny? The King answers prayer whenever you please him. And I'm trying to please him. And when I walk in praise and worship, and call him in remembrance of these things, when I walk in obedience to his word and spend time with him in the word, then that's when he says, in fact, let's go meditate just a minute. Let's go from right here in verse 4. Let's go to John 15:7, and let's meditate on John 15:7 just a moment. Let's see what John 15:7 says here. John 15:7, but if, there's that but and if again, but and if you stay joined to me and my words remain in you, you may ask any request you like and it will be granted. That's a pretty awesome statement. You know that? That's a pretty awesome promise from God. But let's go to the King James on that one, Dave. Flip over to the King James, and let's see what John 15:7 says. If, now see, that's that big word. The other one said, but if, but this one just says, if you put my name, your name there, if Thurman abides in Jesus, and my words abide in Thurman, then Thurman shall ask what he will, and it shall be done unto Thurman. Hey, that's personalizing it. He's talking to you and me like that. How do you get the words to abide? How do you abide in him? Get in the book, right, Miss Heidi? You get in the book, you meditate on the book, and you worship and praise him. You know, as you're there studying the book, and when you come to a line that says, praise the Lord, you know what you ought to do? Praise the Lord. Amen. Stop right there and say, Lord, I praise you and worship you. You just told me to praise you, Lord. I'm praising you. Jump up and down. You know, walk into a restaurant to have something. When we go into a restaurant to eat somewhere, Cheryl had never seen anybody like me. You know, I praise the Lord, and they'd bring a glass of water to the table. She started, I said, hey, honey, you can't drink that. What? Why not? I said, we hadn't praised the Lord for that yet. We hadn't worshiped him. We hadn't thanked him for it. What? Okay, so we praise the Lord. Okay. So in a few minutes, they bring the tea, you know, and she starts, I said, well, hold it. She said, what's wrong now? I said, we hadn't praised him for that yet. You mean you're going to thank him for the water, and then you're going to thank him and praise him for the tea? Yes. Okay, so then they bring the salad. Well, she starts to eat the salad. And I said, hey, you can't dig into that yet, girl. We hadn't praised him for that. She said, do you praise God for everything? I said, yes. Now then, she wouldn't think about it. Cheryl, now then, my honey bunny, of course, she's over there right now going over that 242-page report we just done a while ago. She's printing it out for the year-end records, and she's getting that all ready to send out to everybody. And it'll take her 2.5 hours to sit there with that. But now then, we go somewhere, I don't care. I don't care what it is. A restaurant, they come, they refill her tea glass or refill her water glass. And if I'm there talking to somebody else, if I'm take too long, she'll tap me under the table. I say, yes, honey. She said, I need to drink the water. Oh, I'm sorry. So I stopped and blessed her water for her. She won't drink or eat nothing without it being blessed by her spiritual head. She's learned what God's Word says. And we want our prayers answered, don't we, when we pray? Yes, we want the King to show up. So he says, if you... You notice how these ifs... He means that. Now, everybody wants to ask what they will, and it be done for them, right? Now, what if you haven't been praising Him? What if His Word's not in you? And you come and say, Lord, I need this. He says, who are you? I don't know you. That's what Dave told me after he finally got healed. And he won't know how come it took so long. I told him, I said, Dave, I don't know. Just seek the Lord. He'll tell you. When he began to really seek the Lord told him. He said, Lord, why did it take so long? It took me 20 months to get healed. Why? He said, Dave, I don't know you. How would you like for the Lord to tell you that? I don't know you. He said, well, then why did you heal me at all? He said, because you were so persistent. You stayed with it. He said, now, if you'd have been a little more intimate with me, your healing would have been much faster. So Dave's learned. Now he spends that quiet time with God every day. I mean, you can't hardly tear him away from that quiet time because he wants, when he asks God for something for him or his wife or his children, guess what he wants? An answer. And he wants to pray. Right, Dave? Amen. When he has a need for him or his wife or his children, you know, he wants the King to say, oh, that's my son that I know. That's the one that's always worshiping me and praising me. What do you need, my dear son? Yes, anything for you, my son. Now, see, that's the way we want God to be. But that's what he promises, right? If we abide in him. And that's why we know that he loves worship. We know he loves praise. And lots of people that are Christians will not even talk about God anywhere except in church. You know that? They won't talk about him at work. You know, oh, no, I don't talk about that. You know, I go to church on Sunday, but do you pray? No, only in church. Oh, you ain't going to get much from the King. You ain't going to get much from him, I guarantee. Is that right, young lady? You got to worship and praise the King. I mean, you can't be ashamed of your King. You got to worship him and praise him. Because, did he tell us to? Now, if you don't think that praise is in there very many times, you ought to take the 150 Psalms and go back and do a word search. Start at verse 1 in chapter 1, and every time it says, praise the Lord, highlight it. All the way through all 150 Psalms and see how marked up your Bible is when you get to the end. I mean, I did that one time. I did that. And I'm telling you, it is. I forget now how many times it was in there. But where it says, praise the Lord, it's in there a lot of times. I mean, a lot of times. So if it's in there that much, what do you think he wants us to do? Praise him. That's absolutely right. He's worthy of our praise. But here's this awesome promise. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Now, that verse is the verse that I stood on for Caitlin's miracle. That was the major verse that I used. And we saw the King put her brain stem back, reconnect her eyes to her brain. I mean, fix her throat, everything. And today she's 10 years old running and playing. And so it pays good dividends to do what he says. Because when you have a need like I had with my grandbaby, there ain't nobody else out there can fix you. But he can. Now then, let's go back to Proverbs, where we were in Proverbs. Let's go to verse 5 and 6. Only a fool despises a parent's discipline. Uh-oh. A lot of young people... Or people, whenever they're parents, now sometimes your parents can be a whole lot older and you can be full grown and your parents make a suggestion and you don't want to listen. Well, the Lord says, only a fool despises a parent's discipline and whoever learns from correction is wise. Now then, whenever a parent disciplines a child, I mean, you know, I didn't have too many spankings at home. But, you know, whenever I don't remember. I guess I was 10 or 12 the last spanking I got. But one spanking I got that I don't even remember, my mother told me when I was a little guy, probably 5 or 6, I was there at the table one day, and there was a little cup of toothpicks sitting on the table, and I just knocked them off in the floor. Just knocked them. Toothpicks went everywhere. Daddy told us, son, pick up the toothpicks and put them back on the table. I looked at him and said, no. I done the wrong thing. He come over, and he picked up a little switch, and he hit me 2 or 3 times on the backside. I said, son, I told you to pick up them toothpicks. And I looked up at him and said, no. And so he gave me 3 or 4 more good licks. And he said, son, I said, pick up the toothpicks. And I says, no. And he spanked me again. Mama said, he spanked me until he finally just give up. And he said, I don't know what's wrong with that boy today. I've never in his life been like it. I don't remember it. It had to be a demon take control of my life that day. Had to be. Because any other time, I wouldn't have knocked him off in the first place. And if I had accidentally knocked him off, I wouldn't have did it on purpose. And if I had have knocked him off, he wouldn't even have told me. I'd have been down there picking him up. But that day, the only explanation I have for that, and I don't remember that at all. I don't remember the spanking or nothing. But Mom told me, said, I don't know what was wrong with you that day. Dad didn't know what was wrong with you. Said he spanked you till he finally got ashamed of himself. And you wouldn't never pick those up. So he just picked them up himself and put them back on the table. And since I can't remember it or anything, I only have one explanation. I mean, why would I, as a little 5 or 6 or 7, whatever it was, knock them off on the floor in the first place? Some stupid demon was working on me. And I yielded to the little beast. I wasn't smart enough to know. But Daddy disciplined me, but I didn't learn nothing, obviously, that day. But only a fool despises a parent's discipline, and whoever learns from correction is wise. Now then, some people learn from correction and some don't. Have we seen men that never learned to submit to authority go to prison and spend 5 or 10 or 15 years in prison and didn't learn a thing? They get out and stay out 90 days and they're back in for another 5 years or 10 years. I mean, I don't understand that. I don't understand that at all. But they never learn to submit to authority. But it says whoever learns from correction is wise. So obviously we got a few fools out there, right? Unfortunately, too many of them. There is treasure in the house of the godly. Now then, I like that. I like treasure to be in my house. I like to have everything I need to meet every need that me and my family have in the course of a day and to be a blessing to others. And so the Lord says, if I want to have treasure in my house, I got to be godly. I got to be like Jesus. Well, that's a pretty good goal to follow, isn't it? But he's the one that said that. So if he says there is treasure in the house of the godly, my goal is to be godly because I want treasure in my house. I want everybody that lives in my house to be blessed. You know, just like all these young men and women that work with us and for us and everything else, I want them to be blessed. I want everything to be here that we need. So I want treasure. Now, treasure can be things besides money. You know, treasure can be wisdom and knowledge and understanding and all kinds of good things. That's all treasure from God. But there is treasure in the house of the godly. But the earnings of the wicked bring trouble. Now then, wicked people, they have money and they have earnings. But with their earnings, some of them are very well off. But what comes with their earnings? Yeah, trouble, misery. I mean, you see some people that got more money than you'd think. If there's anybody in the world ought to be happy, it ought to be that guy. I mean, man, he's got all these good jobs or whatever, or these businesses, and he ought to be supernaturally, wonderfully happy in everything. But he's not godly. And he's miserable, and his children are on drugs, and his wife runs around on him, and everything. You know, you name it. That's why we got all the problem we got. But it says the earnings of the wicked bring trouble. I mean, trouble comes with wickedness. That's all there is to it. God said it. It's going to happen. He's going to make it happen for you. If you're wicked, he's going to bring trouble into your house. See, I mean, people don't believe God will do what he says he'll do in his word. They think he's some old loving fuddy-duddy up there in heaven just watching over us thinking, what am I going to do with these kids down there? No, he's in control. Is that right, Jenny? You know that as well as anybody, don't you, girl? Yeah, I know that today whenever Steve came back out there, he said, boy, that girl's got a real testimony. I said, yeah, she has a real testimony. I said, God had to hit her with a telephone pole to get her attention, you know, so that's kind of hard-headed. Now, you know, when Jenny went out and did something she wasn't supposed to do and doing all the dumb things, and she's a young girl and she had been warned, but no, she ain't listening to nobody. So God said, okay, tonight it's my time. I'm going to run her into a telephone pole. I'm going to hit the top of that car totally. I'm going to put that telephone pole right beside her head, but I ain't going to scratch her, but I'm going to get her attention. That's about as close as you can get. If he'd have moved that telephone pole over 1 foot, you wouldn't be here today. It would have killed you, crushed your head. But he wasn't through with you. He has a plan for you, and he loves you, but sometimes he has to discipline you. Well, don't let him discipline you again. You know, walk in love and obedience, and he won't ever have to hit you with another telephone pole. Praise the Lord. Okay. Let's go to verse 7 and 8. Only the wise can give good advice. Only the wise. Now, who is it that has wisdom? The fool or the godly? The godly. That's right. God only gives wisdom to those that ask. He only gives wisdom to those that ask. And when he gives that wisdom to those that ask, he only gives it to those that are his, that are walking in obedience to his word. Now, a fool can ask for wisdom, but God's not going to give it to him. He's going to give it to the godly. Now, what is wisdom? Wisdom is knowing what to do with the knowledge you have. In other words, you can be the best educated man in the world. You might have a PhD and all kinds of stuff. But even with everything you have, I've seen people that were a PhD, and I've heard people say, that guy may be the most educated man I've ever seen, but he doesn't have enough sense to get in out of the rain when it rains. And I've seen people like that, haven't you? What's wrong with that guy with that great education? He has no wisdom. And he may see some little nobody, and he doesn't have all that education, but he spends his time with God. And so God has given him wisdom. The guy can do anything. I mean, no matter what God needs him to do, he can do it for him. So that's the Lord can do great things. Only the wise can give good advice. Fools cannot do so. So if you find a fool somewhere, don't spend much time with fools. You know, spend your time with godly people, you know. In fact, young men today, they get out there in high school, get to running around with some of these guys that are drinking, smoking, and doing pot. Those are fools, just like the Word says. They can't help you. They'll drag you down. You know, they'll literally grab a hold of you and suck you into that swirl pool that they're in and take you right down to hell with them. Don't have nothing to do with them. Nothing. It says, the Lord hates the sacrifice of the wicked. The wicked's going to try to do something for God. He hates it. He ain't going to give you nothing because you're a fool. The Lord hates the sacrifice of the wicked, but he delights in the prayers of the upright. He delights in the prayers of the upright. If you're upright when you pray, what will God do? He'll answer you. He'll meet your needs. And I love it. I mean, I love it. Everybody here at the Ministry Center, as we walk in obedience to His Word, whenever people call us from all over and we praise a prayer of faith for them. I mean, I think about that little woman. I hadn't got her testimony on tape yet, but I will. She lives in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. And this little gal, last year, I think it was New Year's Day, I think. Wasn't that right? Yeah. Last year, New Year's Day, this little girl called, and she happened to be in the office, of course, you know, when a lot of people are having a good time. I'm working for the Lord. And she called and she said, somebody give me some of your teachings, and you're my last hope. She said, I'm 53, I think she said. And she said, I have had scoliosis all since I was a little girl. And she said, the last several years, I have been totally handicapped. I'm in the house, can't get out, can't do nothing. And I'm in constant pain. And she said, I've been listening to your teaching. And she said, I've repented of every sin known to God and now and to man. And she said, now I believe every sin's been repented of. She said, I've done a lot of things wrong as I listen to your teaching. I see a lot of things I've done wrong. But I've repented, and I want you to pray for me for my complete healing. I did. And within 3 or 4 months, this girl was called back. She's out in the yard. She's planting flowers. She's able to run and play and go to town. And today, she's totally healed.
3 miles a day.
And she's walking 3 miles a day, whereas she was bedridden for years. Well, the day's coming when I'm going to go out there to Truth or Consequence and get her and bring her to the studio, and we're going to make a testimony of her story. I mean, isn't that amazing? If you're obedient and obey Him, He said, I can come and ask Him for anything, and He'll do it. And that little girl, what was her name, honey? Susan?
Susan,
yeah. Susan Apps, that was a girl's name. Susan is grateful for that day, and I'm grateful for that day. Susan had heard the word, repented, and within 3 or 4 months after we prayed for her, she's totally, completely recovered. And after she'd been down since she was a young girl with this disease, and the last many, many years she'd been bedridden at home. And now then she's up running in place. She said, it's like living in a brand new body. Hey, isn't that wonderful? I love to see God do those kind of things for people. When you pray, that drives me to want to be more like the King. I don't want nothing wicked entering my body. I want to walk holy in His presence. It says the Lord hates the sacrifice of the wicked, but He delights in the prayers of the upright. So do I want to be upright? Do you want to be upright, Casey? Absolutely, beyond a shadow of a doubt. We want everything we do to praise and worship the King. Okay, verse 9 and 10. The Lord despises the way of the wicked. I mean, if you're a wicked person, and of course, you know, you don't know what it is to be wicked. You know, Dave done a good teaching here a while back. He says, and the title of it is, Me Wicked? Yes. When you sin, in other words, when you grumble and complain, are you wicked? Yes. Does God like that? The Lord despises the way of the wicked. He said, but Lord, I'm only grumbling and complaining. He said, I know and I hate it. You're wicked. So when you learn that when you do things God don't like, you're wicked, what are you going to get from Him? Nothing. That's exactly right. But He loves those who pursue godliness. Now then, I don't know about you. I want to pursue godliness. I want to worship and praise Him. I don't want to be ashamed of Him. I don't care where I am, what I'm doing. I want people to know that I love God. And I want to walk in obedience to His Word. Because He loves that. If God loves those who pursue godliness, should we love godliness? Yes, and I pursue it. And I read and study the Word so I can stay that way. It says, whoever abandons the right path will be severely punished. So what if you abandon the right path? What's going to happen to you? So you're walking this straight and narrow line, and you decide to tell a little lie today. Uh-oh, you abandon the path. You step off to the side. Uh-oh, does it say God hates liars? We studied that too in Proverbs, didn't we? Yes, He hates liars. So He says here, whoever abandons the right path might be, will be. That says severely punished. I don't like that. Do you? I don't like to be punished. I don't like to get a spanking. So what do I have to do? Pursue godliness. And He's not going to do nothing to me. You know, so there's lots of people today that have never read these scriptures. Or if they read them, they don't believe them. So they just do whatever, you know, they think is okay. And they wonder why they're sick and afflicted and tormented. And wonder why they've been down with a headache for 20 years or 30 years. Do you know there's something back yonder in your life you did that God didn't like?
Oh, a whole bunch
of things. You're smart enough now to know that, right, Bruce? But now then you're learning the truth, right? And when you walk in obedience to His Word, you don't have to have those no more. Hey, I don't know about you, but I think I know about you. I don't think you like pain any more than I like pain. Pain ain't no fun, is it? To be free of pain is much better. And all we got to do is walk in obedience to His Word. But whoever abandons the right path. Now, do we have to stay on this straight and narrow path? I mean, yeah, you can't veer off to the side. You can't do somebody wrong and stay on the right, on the narrow path. You've got to do it God's way. Whoever, in other words, that could say, Thurman, if you abandon the right path, you will be severely punished. Is that right? You could say that. Put anybody's name there. Whoever hates correction will die. I don't know about you, but I'm not ready to die. If I hate correction, Lord, I don't want you to. I think about what Terry said whenever she had confronted me about why her children were sick, and I told her she was the problem. She didn't like that, as most women doesn't. When you tell them they're the problem, they don't believe that. But I told her, I said, you ask the Lord and He'll tell you. Well, she did ask the Lord. And she said, when the Lord told her, she had to submit to her husband. Of course, that's written. We already know that's written. And she said, Lord, I will only obey Frank over his dead body. And the Lord, I mean, she said that. Have you seen her testimony on the DVD? You'll hear it when you do hear that. And the Lord spoke to her and told her, no, Terry, it will be over your children's dead bodies. Hey, that gets a mother's attention. So if you're not willing to submit to your husband and do what God said, I'm going to afflict your children. See, that's written in the Word, but nobody believes that today. Nobody believes that their sin is going to cause their children to be afflicted. But God said it will. So that ought to make any man or woman straighten their act up when they learn those principles. But some people go through their whole life and never know those principles. Never. You don't hear that taught in very many churches. Not very many. But it's in the Word. You know what you're going to do one day when you stand before the King and He's going to say, this is why you had all these problems. You say, well, God, I went to church every Sunday. They never told me. He's not going to say, well, I'm sorry that you had a lousy preacher. He's going to say, you know, I give you the Word and I told you to study it. I told you in 2 Timothy 2:15 to study my Word. I'll take care of my preacher too because he didn't tell you what he's supposed to, but I'm not going to hold him accountable for you because I give you the book and you had it and you didn't read it. So if you'd have read it, that's what Dave keeps telling me. He said, I don't know how I missed all these things over the years. And now he knows because he didn't read the book enough. Now that he's read the book and reads it and reads it and reads it and rereads it, hey, he's beginning to really get some knowledge about God's Word. And the more he reads it, the more he'll get. Whoever abandons the right path will be, not might be, will be severely punished. And if you hate the correction when God's trying His best to correct you, to bring you back in, if you don't receive that correction, He'll just kill you. It's that simple. He says you'll die. Who do you think is going to kill you? God is. He's going to, absolutely. If you hate correction and you ain't willing to straighten your act up, now, who knows when that day is going to come? He does. Only He does. He don't tell us. You know, now some people, this is what's amazing to me. One man, he'll give 3 years and he'll kill him. The next one, he'll give 20 years. And you think, now why did this one die? Why did he, you know, but see, God is God. And you can't, He says, I will show compassion to whom I will show compassion. You know, because I'm God. You don't tell me how to do things. I do things the way I want to do them because I am God. So you better try your best to make me happy. You know, and if you do, hey, whoever abandons the right path will be severely punished. Not a little bit, but whoever hates correction will not be severely punished, but you'll just die. Now, if He puts something upon you and you learn, just like that scripture, we'll remember our place right there. We'll go to Hebrews 10:35 and 36. We'll go to Hebrews 10:35 and 36, and I want you to show show you what the Lord says there. In Hebrews 10:35-36, it says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward." Cast not away therefore your confidence. Your confidence in what? The Word. Cast not away therefore your confidence in the Word, which has great recompense of reward, for you have need of patience. Now, patience. Lord, I want patience, but I want it right now. I don't want it tomorrow. Is that right, Jenny? We want patience now. But God's not in a hurry. He doesn't care how quick you want it. He's going to teach you something. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. You will receive the promise after you've done the will of God. Now then, let me put it like this. If you have perfect health and you have a great job with a lot of money coming in every week and you have a beautiful home and it's paid for, and a beautiful car and it's paid for, and you got lots of money in the bank, all your children are healthy, and everything's going perfect, who needs God? Is that the way we think? I mean, I know people that fit in that category. And you say, why don't you come to church Sunday? Oh, I mean, I ain't got time to go to church. You know, gee, I got things to do. I got a company to run. I got to go to the lake. I got to enjoy my new boat. Or I got to go for a ride on my new $30,000 motorcycle I just bought. I ain't got time for church. Well, then one day, whenever they're out for a ride with their son on that $30,000 motorcycle and somebody runs over them and the son's nearly killed, then all of a sudden, they're looking for that guy that said he had a healing ministry. I need to talk to him. And it's extremely important that I talk to him right now. Well, why did this happen? Because you didn't serve God. You didn't put Him first. Of course, by this time, your son's 18 or 20 years old. And so none of you ever went to church. You know, you didn't do nothing for God. You didn't put Him first. Nothing. Somebody said, God wouldn't do those kind of things to me. Yes, He will. Why do you think they happen? Are they just coincidences? No. Who's running the show? God is. Guarantee He is. There ain't nothing happens on this earth. He is in control. But once you've repented, and once you get back, don't go there. This is not, don't go there. You know, don't get away from Him. If you worship Him and praise Him and bless Him and stay in His Word and walk as an obedient child, He's not going to put those kind of things on you. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence in the Word, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience. Now, just like Dave, on Dave's healing, it took some kind of patience. I can still remember a year after he started standing, when he walked into church one day like a zombie. Real loose pants, can't hardly sit down, can't wear shoes. I mean, awful. Big old sores all over his leg. Feet are running sores. Oozing sores. Pain. Have you ever seen his DVD? You saw the pictures then, right? Don't they look awful? They're awful. It's a mess. He was a mess. He says, Pastor, it doesn't appear to be working. Now, this is a year he's been standing. I said, Dave, repent. The Word of God never fails. I said, you're the problem, not God. What do I got to do? I said, go back and begin to personalize the Word of God. Get in it more. Study it. Call the King in remembrance. Tell the devil, you know what God said. And stand. And he did. And it still took another 8 months for him to get healed. But you know, that 2 years that he fought that battle, now then when he can get out there and run and play and do all these things and stay out there in the sun with me and everything else. I mean, it's real easy to say, okay, Lord, that's past. That's over. It's easy to forget. When you feel so good, it's easy to forget what used to be, right, Dave? We want to wake up every morning and be healed, right? But see, Dave's smart enough now to know he's got to stay on the narrow path. He can't veer off over here to the left in sin or to the right. He's got to stay on the narrow path. Because every time he takes a step off, see, now he knows the truth. And guess what God's going to do to him as soon as he takes one step off the path? He's going to hit him. Son, get back on this path. I'm going to discipline you. And he'll do it to you, won't he, Dave? Yes, he will. He already knows. He stepped off of that path a couple of times in the last couple of years. He didn't get very far. But it didn't take much. Whenever his sickness starts coming back, he automatically knows, I don't want this stuff. I had this all my life. I don't want this stuff. I want to stay, Lord. And when he walks that straight and narrow path, he don't have to worry about waking up in the morning and being sick. When he wakes up in the morning, he's well. That's the way it works. You have need of patience. That's something we don't do well. You know it? Patience. I want patience, Lord, but I want it right now. That's not the way it works. Okay, let's go back to Proverbs. The Lord despises the way of the wicked, but he loves those who pursue godliness. How do you pursue that godliness? You get in the Word and study it and then do what it says. You may ask me, where do I read? Just anywhere. Be in the Word. If you haven't read the entire New Testament lately, start with Matthew. Or you might say, well, I don't want to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, then read the book of Romans about 10 times. You know, that'd be a good place to start. Book of Romans is real good. Oh, don't just read it once. You know, read it several times. You know, read it, you know, sit down one evening. That's not a big problem. I mean, I've seen people that would sit down and read 100 pages of a book in one evening. I've done it. You know, but the book of Romans is only a handful of pages. You know, just a few pages. You can read the entire book of Romans in one sitting with no problems. It don't take long. Then tomorrow night, come back and read it again. And the next night, come back and read it again. And after you read it about 10 or 20 times, God, if you pray over it and ask the Lord to give you a revelation of wisdom, you're going to begin to understand the book of Romans, at least part of it. You'll get revelation you never had before when you pray over it and read it. But you got to be serious with God. You know, you read the whole Bible one time, say, okay, I got it. No, forget it. You ain't got it. You can read it 100 times and you don't have it. In fact, at the healing school Saturday, I think it was either that or Sunday, I forget which one, there was a lady come to me and she said, when somebody gave me the tongue tape, she said, I listened to that tape over and over every day for 13 months, I've listened to the tongue tape over 300 times. Somebody heard her say that and say, good grief. Do you get anything out of it? She said, every time I listen, I learn something new. Isn't that amazing? 300 times, this woman. And so I said, well, have you gotten anything else? Oh, yeah. She said, after I listened to that 300 times, I got something else. I'm listening to those now. Now, see, here's a woman that's a glutton for the Word of God. And she's learning. Do you think God's happy with her pursuing His Word like that? Learning? Of course He is. It says, whoever abandons the right path will be severely punished, but whoever hates correction will die. Well, I don't know about you. I do not want to be one of those sons of God that does not like the discipline God puts on me. Whenever something happens to me, just like last week or week before last, yeah, the first, second, third of January, whenever I began to get that little pain in my back, I started hurting. I mean, I immediately stopped and said, okay, God, what did I do wrong? What's causing this pain? I began to rebuke the pain, commanded to leave, and it didn't go away. So I said, okay, God, there's something wrong. I don't know what I've done. I sought Him. I worshiped Him. I praised Him. I didn't say, oh, I'm hurting, Lord. I got to go to bed. I said, no, Lord. Praise God. I said, I don't have this. And that first day, I went out here and hung sheetrock overhead with a pain in my back, thinking, praise God, I don't have any pain. Somebody said, you're crazy. No, I ain't. No. I'm praising and worshiping. I don't know what I've done wrong, but I praise Him. Lord, I don't know what you're trying to teach me here, but Lord. And then, of course, whenever I walked in, went in the kitchen that day, I'm sitting there, and there's a Yeshua. Dave wasn't there, but Cheryl was there. And I looked up at a Yeshua, and I said, Yeshua, if I hadn't loved you enough, girl, I repent. I looked her up at my honey bunny. I said, Cheryl, honey, if I haven't loved you enough, I repent. And I said, I don't know where Dave's at, but Dave, if I hadn't loved you enough, I repent. I love you more. Dave come running in there when he heard me say that. I said, I'm trying to get rid of this pain. You know, I don't know what I've done wrong, but it only lasted about 2.5 days, and then it was gone. Praise the Lord. But the Lord was trying to teach me something. Now, Lord, I don't mind you correcting me, because I understand you discipline us. And Lord, if I've done anything wrong, I want to straighten it up and be right. Because if I say, you know, I ain't going to do anything you tell me, God, what's he say he's going to do there? He's going to kill me. Are you ready to die?
No,
me neither. I want to live a long time, and I want to live a good, healthy life in the process. And so you got to do exactly what the word says. Okay, verse 11 and 12. Even the depths of death and destruction are known by the Lord. Can you just see the Lord now in this place of hell? Who made hell? The Lord did. These flames of fire. He said he made this for Satan and his angels, his wicked angels. But everybody that don't believe in Jesus gets to go to this place. Can you just see the king walking through hell, looking at people? And having compassion in his heart, saying, you know, there's that woman. I tried my best to get through to her. There's that man. I tried to teach them the truth, and they wouldn't listen. Here they are, if they'd only listened. In fact, I read a book one time about a woman that said the Lord took her to hell. And while she was there, she said there was this woman, when she saw Jesus approaching, she said, Lord, give me another chance. I'll serve you. And said, the Lord, and she said, I could see the compassion in his eyes. And all of a sudden, I heard the Father say, no, judgment has been set. There's no reprieve. So Jesus just walked on by her. And then as he walked by, she began to scream all kinds of foul things at him, calling him of whatever, all kinds of cursings and everything else. Yeah, she would have really served him, wouldn't she? No. When the Father says, he knows your heart. When it's been set, it's set. When you get to go to that place of torment, it's over. So that's why on earth, while you're able to live and breathe, we need to make sure we got our act straightened up and we're walking holy and obedient to his word, right? Absolutely. Either that or you get to die and go to this place called hell. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go that place. I don't want to go there at all. Even the depths of death and destruction are known by the Lord. Of course, they got to be known by him because he made them. He built it and designed it. You know? How much more does he know the human heart? Who made our human heart? He did. God did. And he knows everything you put in it. Everything. You know? So that's why David could say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. I don't want no junk in there. Well, I've told him since I've been a mechanic, and I understand some of the dirty pieces that comes off engines, I have to put them over to that and get a big old heavy wire brush and really rub them to get them clean. I said, Lord, if it takes a good stiff wire brush to clean this thing out, do it. I know the Holy Ghost is that wire brush, and he can clean that heart. But I don't want nothing that's filthy left in that heart. I want it clean and pure in your presence. And that should be the desire of every one of us. Mockers don't love those who rebuke them. You take somebody that's a mocker and you try to give them a little constructive criticism, what will they do to you? They don't like you. I don't want to be around you. You know, that's a shame, but sometimes you even try to share with people in the church, you know, that you're sick because of sin? And you know, they don't like that either. My grandmother was the best woman that ever walked the earth, and she died with cancer. She didn't have no sin in her life. And then, of course, the best example of that I ever have was Norma Garcia. when we done Norma. She's a grandmother, a mother, a grandmother, grandparent. And she told us, she said, if you were to, in fact, I think it's on the CD, or the DVD, I mean, but she told us personally, she said, you could have asked my children or my grandchildren, what about Mama? My children would have said, Mama is the best woman. I mean, she is loving, kind, sweet, goes to church, great Christian. How about the grandchildren? Oh, my grandchildren love me. Grandma's the sweetest thing. Do you think, well, how come Grandma's been in the hospital so much? How come she's been sick so much? Well, it's got to be just, who knows? What, do you think she's sick because of sin? Well, absolutely not. My grandmama never sins. My mama never sinned. But she said, what my children and my grandchildren didn't know was I was abused by my father when I was a little girl, and I hated him with a passion. But nobody ever knew that. But who knew it? God knew it. He knew her heart was filthy, dirty with that sin. And he did everything he could to get Norma's attention all the way down to cancer and Parkinson at the same time. And when she heard me preach about this, she forgave her dad, although he's already dead. She forgave him, come up for prayer, shaking like this with Parkinson. And when I touched her, the King instantly healed her right there. And for the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, whatever it's been since that day, she has not been sick again. Isn't that amazing? All she had to do is straighten up her act. And who knows her heart? God knows what's in there, doesn't he? You can look at me and say, oh, I'm the sweetest person. I never do anything wrong. You know, my little daughters back there, you know, I trust them. I love them. But they could come in and put their arm around me and say, Dad, I never do anything wrong. I work so hard. Well, I got to believe that, see. But who knows the truth? God does, yeah. Now, if God knows that they told me the truth, you know, then he's going to bless them. You know, but if they don't, they're going to get a spanking. I ain't going to give it to them, but he will. And so, wow, I was kidding Jenny today. Yesterday she did over 4,000 CDs. And today I said, are you working as hard as you did yesterday? She said, yes, sir, I'm working as hard as I did yesterday. But yesterday, man, she was back there. It was almost unbelievable how fast that girl was working. She was lightning fast baking. Wow. I mean, she is fast when it comes to making those things. We got several of them that's good. Phil, he's lightning fast. Krista, but man, there's all of them really good. But even the depths of destruction are known by the Lord. And how much more does he know the human heart? Mockers don't love those who rebuke them, so they stay away from the wise. Yeah, after you try to share some things with what the Lord calls a mocker, he or she, they won't come around. They don't come around. But, you know, we misinterpret what mockers can be. I mean, with what I teach, a lot of people, they make fun of me. With what I teach. I catch a lot of flack from the church. The world don't give me much trouble. But the church, unfortunately, I hate to say it, but it works. What I'm teaching will bring forth healings and signs and miracles and wonders. And I've seen them by the thousands. You know, so if you try to tell people that they're sick because of sin, many of them will never come back to your church. In fact, I got tickled at Ty one time. Ty told me, he said, Thurman, we was going out to dinner one night, all of us. He said, you won't ever have to worry about having a great big church. I said, why? He said, what you teach, lots of people don't want to hear it. He said, they want you to make them feel good. You know, he said, those that are not sick, especially, he said, they want you to make them feel good. They don't want to hear you say, you know, that if you don't stop sinning, you're going to be sick. They don't want to hear that. And so I said, they hear that a few times and, hey, I ain't coming back over there. But let me tell you what. When they get sick, they'll come back. If they know that they can come here and get healed, they will come back. In fact, I had a man the other day come to a healing school. He said, I came here 3 years ago and got healed. He said, I've never been back because I live so far away. But he said, today my wife is sick and we drove back up here. I brought her because she needs healing. Now, he's never come back, but when they have a need, they come back. So he said, I got healed, so I know what you teach works. And he said, for some strange reason, my wife's sick. And so I told him, I said, you got to repent of your sins because that will bring sickness and disease. To 13 and 14. A glad heart makes a happy face. Now, how do you smile all the time? What do you got to have in here? A glad heart. And if you know Jesus, you ought to have a glad heart. You know that? A Christian should never have a long face. A Christian that knows who they are will never be stuck in depression. You can't be depressed knowing Jesus, can you, Casey? Amen. I don't care what your physical condition, even we're going to get Casey completely healed before this is all over. But still, right now, in his physical condition and having to walk with a limp and everything else, that boy, he's never depressed. He's on fire. He's a good worker. You know, he has a good attitude and always got a smile on his face. Why? Because he's got the Lord and a glad heart. So he's happy. He has a happy face. A broken heart crushes the spirit. Well, let me tell you what. Don't ever have a broken heart. You have control over a broken heart. Somebody does something to you to break your heart. In fact, how many times have I seen this for people to get broken hearts? Some young boy and some young girl are going together a year, 2 years, 3 years, and then they make a decision to get married and everything else. And they think they're the happiest things on the earth. And then all of a sudden, maybe something tragic happens. Maybe the young boy got killed in a car wreck. The young girl has a broken heart. A broken heart. I mean, and she's down and she's depressed. Oh, well, get over it. God has something better for you. He has something better. You know, trust Him. This is when it comes to the point where it's hard to trust God. What? But I loved Him. And now then I'm never going to be able to have Him. But see, if you'll trust God, He's going to, or let's just say that this way happens a lot of times. You're really wonderfully in love with this guy or girl, and she goes off on vacation to the grandparents' home for a summer or a month or two or three or whatever during the college break or whatever. And while you're away, your boyfriend meets another girl and gets married. You've been going with him 3 years, but he meets another girl, and by the time you get back, he's already married and gone. You have a broken heart, and you're dying, and you're sick. And God says, no, I have a better one for you. When you come back and he run off with somebody else, you know what you ought to say as a Christian? Praise the Lord. That wasn't the one for me. Glory to God. God's got something better, right, Heidi? God's got something better. Lord, what do you got for me? Lord, I'm waiting for it, Lord. Oh, glory, I know you got a better one out there somewhere. I thought that was the love of my life, but obviously it wasn't. I went off to granddad mother's house for a month, and he married somebody else. So praise God, Lord, what do you got for me? And the Lord says, now that's my real daughter. She believes and she trusts me. And then you meet this guy. And, boy, you start going with this guy. And all of a sudden, within 2 or 3 months, you think, wow, I thought this other guy was great. He was nothing compared to this guy. This guy's wonderful. And you marry him. And you're married and you have 30, 40, 50 years with him. And he's just the love of your life, the greatest guy ever. You see? Now, see, that's not the way we do it, is it? Oh, no, if it didn't go like we think it should. Oh, we're so depressed. Oh, we're crying. Somebody sees somebody. Oh, what's wrong with you? Oh, the love of my life. He run off with another woman. Oh, we're so pitiful. Get over it. God's in control. Amen. He knows what He's doing. In fact, I got tickled. I've told this about Deborah. Deborah said one time, all of her friends were getting married, and she wanted to get married. And finally she said, I went home one night, and I'm much older now, and all my friends are married and gone and everything. And I just got down, and I began to fuss at God. God! You know, if you loved me, you would have me a husband, Lord. And she was just really reading him the riot act. And she said, all of a sudden, I had never heard his audible voice in my life. He says, Deborah, if you would just be patient, I have something better for you. Deborah said, oh, my lands, I'm on my face. I think he's fixed to strike me with lightning. She said, I ain't never heard his voice, but I heard it that night. She said, after that, I said, I just praise him and worship him, Lord. I don't know what you got for me, but I know it's good. So she never fussed at God again because he never brought her a husband. She still don't have one, you know, but she knows and loves the Lord, and she don't ever fuss because he's got something better. See, he knows that if she'd have went out and married some guy, she might have been miserable. You know, who knows? And he don't want her to be miserable. He wants her to be happy. So he give her what he wants her to have. And that's, at this point, no husband. But whatever he selects for us, we should say, okay, Lord, that's great. I'm going to enjoy and I'm going to be happy in whatever you give me, right? Yeah. Because if you just do that, a glad heart makes a happy face, a broken heart crushes the spirit. If you have a broken heart, if your spirit is crushed, you can't walk in faith with a crushed spirit. I mean, even when Betty and Amanda both got killed in that car wreck the same day, I got little Caitlin there and Kelly. And I either got to fight the fight of faith for these two little girls, or I'm going to lose all four of those girls in the same day. What are you going to do? You're going to have a crushed spirit? You're going to be depressed and say, oh, God, I can't believe you've done this to me. Hey, you got to trust him. He knows what he's doing. So I worshiped him and praised him and I walked in, and for the next 30 days got to see God do some of the most awesome miracles I've ever seen him do in my life. As he and I got to clean out Cook's Medical Center. I loved it. 9 babies in 30 days was miraculously healed. Isn't that awesome? What would have happened if I'd have had a crushed spirit? Nothing. That's exactly right. In fact, Caitlin would have died too. I'd have lost her. And of course, Kelly might have been 3 months before she could have walked. And she might still not be normal to this day. And those other 7 might have died too. And I just, oh, I'm feeling sorry for me. Woe is me, God. He said, you don't belong to yourself. Whenever you accepted me as Lord and Savior, you gave up all legal right to yourself. You've been bought with a price. You belong to me now. Is that what the scripture says? I believe that's 1 Corinthians 6:19. I think. We might flip over there right quick. The 1 Corinthians 6:19 and see what that says. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Well, if you're not your own, who do you belong to? Who owns you, Bruce?
God.
Can he do with what he wants to, with his own? Yeah. In other words, if you've got a tool, you're a mechanic, and if you've got a tool and you want to clean it up, put it in the toolbox where you have it again tomorrow, if you don't throw the sucker out in the pasture, you can do it, can't you?
That's right.
It belongs to you.
My tool.
Yeah, it's your tool. Yeah. You bought it. Do anything with it you want to. Isn't that amazing that we belong to him? And if he wants to do something with us, he can. And if we worship him and praise him through everything he does, guess what he's going to do for us? He's going to do some wonderful things. But if you get off into depression with a broken heart and your spirit's crushed, and then I can only imagine, now then that I've walked on the other side, I can only imagine if I'd have walked on this side with a broken spirit when they called and said, your wife and daughter's dead, and your grandbaby in Kelly's in critical condition. If I'd have fell apart and come home and just felt sorry for myself and cried and went down there and just fell all apart and cried and didn't pray, didn't trust God, they'd all died. They'd all died. But hey, I knew I don't belong to him. Betty didn't belong to herself. She belonged to the Lord. Amanda didn't belong to herself. She belonged to the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. My daughter, my son, don't belong to me. They belong to him. He can do what he wants to with them, right? Yeah. I want him to help guide them and bring them along, but I don't want him to kill them. You know, I do. I would like to have them a few years. You know what I mean? Because we enjoy being around our loved ones. You know, or at least we should. You know, that's the way life should be. But you got to realize as you go through life, God is in control. He has a plan for you and a plan for me. Just like Cheryl and I, we sit around and talk about this once in a while. You know, we look at her life where she's lived, my life where I've lived, and the things we've done, and our children and everything else. And then we think, who would have ever dreamed at our age the day would come when she and I would be serving the King in a ministry together? Never dreamed of it. That never did enter my mind. Probably never entered her mind either. You know, but see, God had a plan way down the road, didn't he? He had a plan, and he brings it into reality to do what he wants to. And this little tiny ministry that we're in, just like Phil asked me today, said, who turned in the camera order this week? I said, I did, because I knew we were out of CDs and DVDs, so I didn't know how many to order, so I ordered 10,000 CDs and 10,000 DVDs. He said, well, the next day I was going to turn in for 15,000 CDs. You know, I bought $4,600 worth this week myself. Wow. Who would have ever dreamed a few years ago I'm buying $5,000 worth of my cost blank CDs in a week and then giving them away? Who would have ever dreamed, huh? That takes big faith to do that, right, Lisa? It takes great faith to trust God. But guess what? For some strange reason, from places that we don't even know, people we don't even know, money comes in to pay all of our bills. That's amazing, isn't it? It is. But see, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own. Verse 20. For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are what? God's. So who do we belong to, Miss Heidi? The King. Aren't we grateful? Yes, we're grateful we belong to the King. So therefore, Lord, I want to please you. I want to be a vessel of honor that you can use that's fit for the Master's use. So that when you need to get somebody healed, you can call me and I'll speak the words and see him set you free. I love serving the King. Don't you? Amen. And of course, a man and a woman that serve the King together, their life will be blessed. You know, they will be blessed. I mean, that's the way God meant it. He wanted you to be blessed with abundant life. But you have to obey him. And if you don't read this book real regular, you won't know what he likes and what he don't like, so you won't be able to please him. I'm going to tell you. So let's go back to Proverbs now. Verse 14, a wise person is hungry for truth, while the fool feeds on trash. I used to be a fool, and I fed on trash. I mean, you know, when you think about that, you think, let me set some slop before you, and you want to eat out of the pig bucket. And I used to raise, Dad and Mom raised pigs when I was at home, and I carried the slop out and fed the hogs. And by the time you throw that old kind of deteriorated, rotten food that had been sitting there for 2 or 3 days, and you took it out and throw it in the pig trough, and you watch them pigs eat that stuff, you think, ooh, that don't look very good to me. But boy, they sure was eating it up. They'll eat anything. You know, a pig will eat anything. But today, we feed on trash. We turn on the radio and listen to it. We read the newspaper and believe it. We turn on television and watch some of the most wicked shows you ever heard of. I mean, they're nothing then compared to what they are today. But 15 or so or 18 years ago, I turned off the TV. I just don't watch it because I thought it was bad then. I used to, when I was a young man, I used to look at Playboy magazine. There was one picture in Playboy magazine when I was a young man that was the centerfold. They used to have a picture in the middle of the book that fold out that was one of the most beautiful women you ever saw in your life. But she had a little tiny swimsuit on, little bitty one, but she had clothes on. Well, years later, which had been years ago, at least 15 years ago from now, I walked in the men's bathroom down there at one of the places I worked, and there was a Playboy magazine laying there on the counter. I hadn't looked at one of them things in years and years and years. And I opened the front page, said Playboy magazine, opened the front page, and when I looked, I saw four of the most wicked pictures on the first page I could ever imagine. I closed it up, picked the trash up, put it in the bottom of the trash can, put that on top. I said, I don't want that kind of junk. People that read those magazines are feeding on trash. What does he call you? A fool. Fools feed on trash. I don't want to be a fool, do you? So what do we want to feed on if we're not going to be a fool? We need to feed on the Word. That needs to be the thing. A man wrote me a letter today, and he wanted to know, said, you need to write a book on faith. How to become a faith man like you are. I thought, man, that's right. I don't have to write a book. I can just write a couple of lines. Get in the Word. Read it every day. Feed on the Word night and day. That'll make you a faith man. Without it, you ain't never going to get there. That's the way I got there. Obeying the Word. Doing what it says. But a wise person is hungry for truth. Where are you going to find truth? The Word. It ain't nowhere else. While fools feed on trash, magazines, newspaper, radio, and television, if it's secular, it's trash. It's trash. Wow. Okay, we'll stop there and start with verse 15. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for this evening. I thank you for your book of Proverbs and how great you are and all these wonderful things that you provide for us in this book. And I praise you and thank you, Father, for teaching us who you are, what you like, and what you don't like. And I thank you, Lord, for this magnificent book of Proverbs. Now, Lord, bless us as we go forth this week, and may we take some of the things we've learned here tonight, may we use them to praise you and worship you and thank you this week, and may everybody around us know that we're sons and daughters of God because of the way we act in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.